On this episode of the Garden of Eden podcast, we're bringing the energy with Christy Von Rose. We talk about how cannabis can unlock your creativity while simultaneously treating chronic pain from endometriosis. If you love the Garden of Eden podcast and you want to see us grow, share it with a friend. Make sure that you go over to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, leave a review, and like us on Spotify. Without further ado, let's jump into today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Garden of Eden podcast. My name's Eden, and I'm your host, and I am joined with the bubbly, most beautiful, most energetic, Christy Von Rose, my friend from the internet and from real life. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, babies? You must believe. And thank you so much for having me. Oh, my God. It's been a while since we've seen each other and we've actually spoken, but it's so fun to reconnect with you.
Oh my goodness. So most of you guys don't know this, but the majority of the podcast guests I have, I don't know. I've met them online and we've become fast friends. And I'm like, we have to share this person's story. But Christy, I went to school with. And like most people, after school, you just kind of float apart from people. Everyone goes their separate ways. And I was on either Instagram or TikTok, I can't remember. And I see this plus size, beautiful girl spinning in a circle, dressed like Sailor Moon. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's fucking awesome. And then I look a little closer and I was like, oh my gosh, I know her, like in real life. And then I was like, what's her name? And I was like, Christy. So I went and I searched on Instagram and I found you. And I think I shot you a message saying like, oh my gosh, I know you. And I just saw this amazing cosplay you did. How the heck have you been?
Basically, yeah. And then I was so surprised to see you doing yoga because when we went to school, you were like, girl, you were like makeup guru. I was like, and I saw this whole different type of guru. And I'm like, oh, like I've always, your personality is so bubbly and so calming. So when I saw you doing yoga, I was like, oh, it's like it just connected. I was like, how can I do yoga like you? Because right now I just can't.
And it's so wild that like I totally, it feels like I've lived 1,000 different lives because I totally forget that I was like so into makeup back then. And I took a whole train case into the dorm full of makeup products and I would sit there and do other people's makeup. Like I just totally forget that that was my life because now I'm so into like more minimal makeup and I look back at all the money I spent on that makeup. And like when I decluttered, I was like, this is easily like 10K, like easily worth of makeup. Yeah. Okay. So let me dial back. For people that don't know you, who are you? Why did you start your platform? Instagram didn't even exist when we were in school. I think we all still had Facebook. So like, how did you get on Instagram and TikTok and how did you grow? What are you about? Let everyone know.
Okay, so from the start, it's funny, it started as a dare. Literally started as a dare. One of my friends was like, hey, I never see you post full body pictures of your body. Why don't you? And I'm like, who wants to see a plus size body on the internet? Like, I was so like not ready for this much growth. I was not ready for all of this. It was just, and I feel so sad when I see that photo because I was so insecure. And then slowly but truly, I went from like 130. And then it was like my Instagram grew with me by love and positivity because you get so much bullying that you need that positive love from others just a little bit to get you going. It's like the little bit of fairy dust. And from there, it's just like, my community went evolving. At first it was like, okay, people like it. And then it's like, okay, then there's self-love journey and then modeling a little and then fashion, putting it all together. And then it just became a platform where I want to inspire women, men, non-binary, whatever you are, to love you and to rock you. Like, you know how much money people spend on buying that number one thing that no one has? You're unique. Love yourself, embrace yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to kind of talk a little bit deeper about that first picture. Like something that you said was, why would someone want to see a plus size body like mine? And you're a plus size girl. You're also, do you consider yourself Afro-Latina or Black? I feel like I've seen you say both.
I'm Afro-Latina because at the end of the day, I still have my, you know, Spanish roots. But I will always, you know, be African person, so it's Afro-Latina.
Yeah. And I love that. It's so beautiful that you embrace both. But like, there's so much that comes along with not even just being plus size, but being in a marginalized group as well, especially with everything that's happened over the past 2 years. So what was it like for you, like going out and branching out from the place that you were before with your body and building that self-love?
It's different. It's night and day. I have shirts that I use as dresses now. And mind you, I used to wear these shirts. I used to almost hit my kneecaps and then still wear leggings. And this will be on a hot summer day. So it gets to a point that you, when you see, for example, Beyonce, and you see her in her full natural self, she even has satellite. So it's kind of like you kind of compare yourself to other people and then start seeing yourself in the mirror. The best thing you can do is buy a full body mirror. I cannot say that enough. From the ground to as high as the ceiling that can go, as wide as you can get it. And then you start seeing that you don't have to change your body. Your body is who you were registered as. Like, I didn't pick my body. So why not love it? Why expect someone else to love you, but you can't love yourself? And that's okay to love yourself. And it's okay to have days where you feel like, I don't feel beautiful, but I know I am. It's okay to still feel doubtful. It's a whole journey process. It's slowly but truly, and you'll get there.
Yeah. So I know as long as I've known you, you've been plus size. We were both plus size in school. And you said, you know, no one wants to see a body like that. Where did that idea come from that no one wants to see plus size bodies? Like, did that come from childhood, you know, comments around your body, or is it just internalized things from the media? Where do you think that idea that no one wants to see a plus size body came from?
It's kind of like it was a pound and a pound and a pound and a pound until I had this whole thing on top of me. So it came from family, even friends that were supposedly friends, came from the media. You know, what's her name? Like Barry, you know, she has a plus size body. She was very busty and she was bullied a lot and she was a beautiful actress. And just growing up, having a really abusive, you know, household where fat wasn't beautiful. You have to be skinny, you know, all, and then everything. It was just so much on top of each other. And it gets to a point that you just hate yourself.
Yeah. I know. I talk so much about like my grandmother and how like terrible we've done a lot of repairing of our relationship, but how terrible she was to me growing up and like telling me I couldn't wear certain things that my cousins were able to wear because they were thinner. Were you ever put on diets when you were a kid?
Oh, most definitely. My mother lied to get me in the gym. I was 10 years old when I had my first gym membership and the minimum age was 13.
Yeah. So much harm comes from that. And in the body positivity movement, I know a lot of people kind of push against the word health because so much trauma has been caused by our families, from diets to forcing us to work out or earn our food or whatever it is. But I see you and I would consider you a very healthy person, from how much you move to how you foster a very healthy environment for your mental health. And also the way that you eat, you're pescatarian. I know that you don't eat food dyes and things like that. So how do you embrace like health from a pescatarian standpoint while still not focusing on weight loss or the things that were kind of pushed on you from a young age?
It's a lot to listening to your body. Your body will tell you what it needs. Like right now, I need some water. My body didn't get that thirst in my mouth. And it's like when you get thirsty, don't go straight for the sweet stuff. So I get it. Sometimes you go hungry and you're like, your body wants something nutritionally sweet. Just whatever you listen to your body. Like there's some days that even in my pescatarian diet, there are days that I eat a lot of, you know, air fried foods. And then I just wake up one morning, I'm like, I just want a salad. My body's like, I'm screaming for a salad. So it's really just listening to your body.
Yeah, I love that you're like, some days my body's just screaming for a salad. And that is not you like giving into diet culture or whatever it might be. It's you just listening to your body. Like I had air fried green tomatoes the other day and they were so good. And like you said, after you have like anything that's kind of sodium rich, I want it the whole next day. I feel like I ate a whole like personal size watermelon because I just wanted really water rich foods. And you can look after your health and eat healthy foods without feeling like I'm giving into diet culture or I'm trying to be like a good fat person so that people will like and appreciate me more because I'm trying to do quote unquote the right thing by shrinking myself.
Correct. And I just feel like if that's a path you want to do, then you should do it for yourself, not because you have this person in your ear, you have that person in your ear. If you want to lose the weight, that's fine. But that's a journey you have to take by you, yourself, and I. And at that point, even your own faith, whatever it is. But when we do it out of hatred because we're sick and tired of listening to everybody else's noise, it just becomes a form of numbing yourself.
Yeah. That man, that's a real call out. It does, like when you're doing anything from a place of self-hate, you're just gonna end back up wherever you were. Because like one of my favorite quotes is no matter where you go, there you are. Like if you're not fixing yourself, you can run and run and run from whatever your problem is, but you will always be there. And if you don't fix that root cause, then you'll never be happy.
And then being a plus size woman too, you still get the other pounds of amounts of criticism for being a woman. You can't wear that, it's too short. You look like a that is too long. You look like a nun. That is too this, that is too that. So putting both worlds together. So now it's like I choose my world. I choose my world. If you want to go ahead, call me a pig, please do. God, I love pigs. Do you know what they eat in the wild? They eat roots, berries. They're vegetarian.
So how did you decide that you wanted to be pescatarian? Because back in school, I used to say I was vegetarian when we were in school, but I wasn't. I ate tuna like every day. But pescatarian wasn't widely recognized or known. So vegetarian was like the best way to describe it, I guess, back then, because there was like I didn't know what pescatarian was. How did you decide that that was the lifestyle for you? And you've been pescatarian for what, 2, 3 years now?
Or longer?
I think I'm going on 6 or 5.
Oh, 6 years. I'm way
Yeah.
off.
It's all right. I knew about pescatarian in high school because I had a classmate that was pescatarian. So I was like, what is that? And at the time, it was known mostly known for eating just fish. Now it's more like seafood. It was due to the fact that my ex's mom had cancer. And it was a whole investigation where the cancer comes from. What are GMOs? Why do we need GMOs? And then for me, at the time that I was in limbo, I was going vegan at least every 3 months to restart my body. So once every 3 months, I went vegan for a whole month. And it was helping my body so much. And then when I went back to eating meat, I started to get constipated. Like I was starting to have, just couldn't go. And it was a whole conversation we had. It was back and forth. We started eating organic meats and then stopped eating meat. And then when we was like, okay, we're going to go pescatarian. We mostly went vegetarian. We didn't barely even ate fish. It was a lot. It was a whole journey. It was mostly due to cancer in the family.
And you feel great and you're super happy about your decision.
Oh, I am fantastic about my decision. Like it was the best. If for me personally, I don't know about anybody else, constipation is not comfortable at all. Had zero problems ever since. I've never even had food poisoning in the past 6 years.
Yeah. And I think that's such a cool thing that you bring up is like you listen to your body and you did a lot of research. I think for plus size people, when I was vegan, I would have so many plus size people. I was vegan for almost 7 years until I developed a soy allergy and got a bunch of food sensitivities. Now I don't really label how I eat, but I guess it's mostly flexitarian, pretty much pescatarian, but I do have some pasture-raised chicken or beef, like if we're out and about or if I'm needing more protein outside of salmon and shrimp and things. So, just knowing that you have the power to eat how you want and you don't have to eat in a stereotypical way just because you're plus size, you have no idea how much better you can feel from eating quality foods at your current size unless you do it.
Yeah, like butter, for example. There's a huge world of a difference between dairy butter and vegan butter. And I still use eggs here now. But for example, if I'm making cookies, I'd rather go the vegan route. If I'm making cakes, I'd rather, you know, replace the dairy butter with vegan butter and still have your regular eggs. So there's pros and cons. You can still move around it. And people always ask me, what do you eat when you go outside? Well, there's Chipotle. Mm-hmm. There's In-N-Out. You can get the grilled onions with the patty. Add some fries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. There's tons and tons and tons of options out there, especially when you're eating out. You just have to, like, look for that specific information. And YouTube's, like, a wealth of knowledge. There are some, like, vegetarian, vegan people that do like what I eat in a day, like full fast food, just so that you know what the options are. Not promoting eating that every day, but just so you know that there are options if you want to pursue a certain kind of lifestyle. Along the lines of you saying like you chose what you were going to eat, you said, you know, it comes down to the body too and choosing what you want to wear, not dressing like a nun. How did you get the confidence to wear your shorty short dresses and go out in bikinis? Where do you find things in your size that aren't run of the mill? Where do you find cosplay outfits if people are interested in cosplay and just don't think it's an option for plus size people? I see so many plus size girls at cons just wearing all black just because they don't know what to wear or how to get costumes made. Spill the deets. Share the knowledge.
Okay, I'm going to start with the cosplay because you have to have a open mind if you have a plus size body, okay? I don't know if you know what DDOG is. Yeah, DDOG community focuses is more on, it's kind of like, it's a bondage side of, you know, things. It's, you know, daddy, dom, little girl. And a lot of the things I get from, you know, in those routes of things. I have one in front of me. It has a little clips at the bottom, but it's a nun, not a nun, I'm sorry. It's a maid outfit. So it fits me. They go up to 5X. So when it comes to being plus size, just have an open mind where you get the things. Don't look so much into what you're getting, where it comes from, just what you're getting. But it's a lot of being confident and loving your body. It's not easy, honestly speaking. Some days I look at some of my videos and I'm like, I really did that. How did I get the nerve? The Rodeo Drive one was like, I'm out there in a thong. Is measuring your body, is loving your body. It's okay if you have a waist that is, for my waist, for example, it's between 42 inches and 44 inches. My hips are about 70 inches. It's okay. You're going to be thick. You're fat. Love your fat body and shop for your fat body. Why would you shop for something you didn't want? We don't go to a restaurant and order something we're allergic to, for example, or we don't want. You don't do that. So why not love your body the same way? And, you know, going to follow, you know, the way I found out of plus size stores was really following plus size bodies, following influencers that were plus size, and found Torrid, found so many other brands. I'm just saying Torrid in particular because that's where I get most of my bathing suits. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just measuring, loving your body.
And you were featured on Torrid last year.
Yes, and that was a post. I've actually been featured about 3 times.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, your sunflower one. So cute.
Yes. And honestly, I don't know where I come with the ideas. I don't know where the creative just, it just flows when it flows. Yeah.
And I love that you said you shop for the body that you have. Like, a lot of people try to, like, punish their bodies, or, like, they don't want to clothe their body until it is smaller, which is really unfair to you. And then there's the opposite side of people that feel like they need to cover up so that they can feel invisible. And the thing is, like, people know you're fat. They're going to see that you're fat regardless of what you're going to wear. So you might as well wear the thing that you like instead of, you know, trying to, like, cover up for people that you'll never see again that don't matter in your day-to-day life.
And it gets to a point that you get so mad because other bodies are accepted around you because you're the biggest thing there. But you got to think about it. That skinny person that they're accepting right there and then because you're in front, they're being bullied, most likely. They're being told, hey, how about you go get a burger? You're too skinny, number one. And number, then the other thing, too, it gets so frustrating, the people coming to you and telling you what to wear, what you can't wear. You know something? I'm already fat. You're already judging me. It doesn't matter if I wear a pants. I'm about to give you a full runway show. I'm about to show you the satellite. I'm about to show you these stretch marks. If you already feel repulsed and your eyes are burning, I just want your eyes to suffocate because I am taking the breath out of your eyes.
Oh my gosh. I absolutely love it. And it's just so crazy. Like, especially here in Texas, like, when I was in my mid-20s, I went through like a real struggle with my body image, which is so crazy because I hadn't really done that. I hadn't really had that struggle for most of my life. It kind of happened for me later in life. And I just remember being so hot waiting at the bus stop one day because I had on like pants and a layered shirt and a cardigan. And I was just like so hot in the middle of Texas summer. I was like, why am I doing this to myself? Like, I should have on shorts. I know I don't like my arms, but it is too hot. Like, I am going to have a heat stroke out here. So it was like more by force for me for part of it. Cause I was like, you really can't, you can't do it here at all. It's just way too hot. We know, we, us walking around in school, I had never been so tan in my life from that Texas heat. I looked back at pictures and I was like, I didn't know I was capable of being that melanated because we walked around so much around the campus.
I remember when I started like measuring how long, how much I walked, it was between 5-7 miles, 5-7 miles.
It's so wild. And we were always big. So, you know, we were always active. We had no problem getting around. So people always try to say like bigger people aren't healthy, and health and size is two different things. But something that you are really open about with your health is your struggle with endometriosis, and like very candid about it, because I feel like it's something that one is underdiagnosed in so many people. One is super underdiagnosed in any part of the Black community. And then again, with plus size people, because they try to tell you if you lose weight, you'll have less painful periods. And the testing just isn't done for endo. So I just would like you to tell people more about endometriosis, how you try to help manage pain, and what you've learned in the process.
Ooh, endometriosis. Well, for people that don't know what endometriosis is a severe cramping at that time of month. It's basically where the uterus layers shake. They rattle, so the flow comes through. Most women have small rattles, but when you have a uterus that develops a lot of skin tissue that needs to, you know, come out, it rattles harder. So it's like my uterus has another uterus, has another uterus, has another uterus. So the pain is excruciating. I'd rather go through surgery every day than having that. And it's very misdiagnosed. I didn't know I had it for the longest. I just thought that I pushed through it. Remember in middle school and, you know, gym class, you go run, do this, do that. It was terrible. And literally I ended up finding Canna Best to help. It was literally, I think a miracle. It was really a miracle. It was the year that it became legal in California, and I had, you know, a party with my cousins, and she's like, here, let me give you two. I want you to try them out. And I was like, no, I don't do cannabis. I want to, but I'm scared because all the stigmas. And then the next day, that was New Year's Day. The next day I woke up with the worst pain ever. My endometriosis was so bad. I called my ex crying on the phone. I was literally, my legs were just like just shaking. I couldn't get up out of the bed. My dogs were worried. They were barking. And he finally comes home. So from like 10 to 3, I was vomiting and pain and trying to get me painkillers. But how can you get painkillers to someone that has an empty stomach? So he was like, well, if this, here's a gummy. I heard this helps. It took me 10 minutes to eat the gummy because I couldn't even swallow. And I think just being in my mouth and being under the tongue for so long, where things is consumed pretty quickly, pain was gone. The pain was entirely gone and I was able to be more productive. But obviously working was not something that I thought about, working and being medicated at the same time. So is choosing your life over opioids or your job?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with endo, is it something, is it every single month that it's that extreme of pain or yeah?
Yeah, it's lucky if once a year it skips, but if it skips, I know when the time comes, it's going to be 10 times worse and it's already bad. Some months randomly, not even maybe once a year, it's happened last year, one time last year in October, zero pain. Mm. But you're always embracing yourself till it comes, because sometimes it doesn't come right away. Sometimes it comes like in the third day and you're like, yes. And then it just varies.
Yeah. Wow. And I'm glad that, you know, cannabis was able to get you some relief. And you are very open about cannabis use on your platform. And like you, I don't use cannabis because it is not legal in my state. But I do use a lot of CBD for pain and anxiety and different things. And you mentioned the stigma, and the stigma is so much higher in Black and Brown communities, especially about the people who use cannabis. The, you know, stereotypes and things that are said about Black and Brown people, especially that use cannabis, are so like vile, you know, we're lazy, we, you know, spend all of our money on drugs, et cetera, et cetera. Like, how did you push past that to be able to like promote cannabis and THC on your platforms as something that's not, you know, this illegal, like drug dealer type thing? And like, this is medicine and for healing, it can be for fun as well. Like however you want to use it is okay.
I think it was, I don't know why I didn't put this prospect in my other part of my life, but it's basically the thing that is literally my mantra now. I cannot change what people's thoughts, ideals are, or what they believe in. That's all on you. I'm not, if you think 2 + 2 = 500, yes, you're correct. I'm not going to change your ideas. But one thing I'm going to do is put out the content, inform yourself. We all know why was this plant illegal? We all know the reason why. It's only been illegal in this whole world for 100 years. So for the past 100 years, this plant has been illegal. Mind you, the Constitution is written in hemp paper. The Constitution is written on hemp paper. So that just tells you a lot about what our presidents used to do back in the day. So honestly speaking, I can't change your mind and who you want to think I am. You want to think I'm a drug dealer? Go ahead. If you want to think I'm ugly because I'm fat, go ahead. If you want to think that whatever you want, just go ahead. Like at this point in my life, I'm just sick and tired of proving people right from wrong.
Yeah.
Google's free.
So for people that are kind of curious, what would you say just personally the benefits for you are, and what are your suggestions for people if they have questions about like pain management, what should they start with and things like that?
Okay. Well, everyone is different how they want to start. Everyone is different how they want to start. For me, I use every aspect of it. I use CBD a lot when I have pain. I even have, you know, some of them sodas that I saw on your page. Yeah, me too. So I use a lot of CBD. CBD is like if you need a chill, like you have a lot of anxiety, you have a lot of things going on, it helps you just relax. It doesn't get you high. It's kind of like after you get a whole body massage without the feeling of your body being massaged, but your nerves were got a really nice massage. Sativa, I use a lot if you're a creative person, if you're going to be up and about in your home, unless someone is driving you somewhere, it's not for driving purposes, then sativa is more like a head high, where you just feel like your creative wheels just start turning, and you just feel more euphoric. Now, indica, I use because I have a horrible time sleeping. I have insomnia, so I don't sleep that easily. So indica in the couch. It just means your whole body is high and you don't know where you're going. You're just staying, just completely melting in. And where to start? I want to say start with your basics. Start with flower. Start with your basics. Edibles, start very little. I don't care if someone says, here's 100 milligrams. I'm telling you right now, I can barely do 100 milligrams, and I at least smoke a lot a day. I smoke a lot and do a lot a day. Edibles, start very small. Start like maybe a 1 milligram, 250 milligram, and literally wait at least 6 hours, because some people don't get immediate. For me, it hits me in like 45 minutes. My cousin, for example, it hits them in about 6 hours.
Yeah,
and like you said, everyone will be different. Like with CBD, I started with gummies, and that was fine. But now I prefer more portable methods, like the sodas, like especially since I have anxiety while driving, and CBD is safe while operating machinery and all of that kind of stuff, for anyone wondering. I also like CBD coffees. Like if I'm going into a meeting and I think I might be nervous, I'll take a little CBD coffee and take my iced coffee in with me so that I have it through the duration, in situations where you need to be, you know, a little bit more discreet about anxiety. And like Christy said, you start small, because I took a whole Delta 8 gummy, which is like kind of the middle ground between THC and CBD. And I thought, you know, I take like 100 milligrams of CBD, no big deal. These Delta 8 gummies were 25 milligrams. They said to take a half to a quarter. I was like, I'm not a bitch. I'm taking the whole thing. Y'all, your girl was moving in slow motion. She didn't have any clue in the world what was going on. I was so dang thirsty, and I slept for like 16 hours. So like I was out of there. So follow directions on the packaging. And even though THC isn't legal in all states, CBD is in the majority of states. I know a couple of states have peddled back their CBD laws or smokable hemp laws. But go to a dispensary or a CBD shop. All of their bud tenders are so knowledgeable. Well, most of their bud tenders are so knowledgeable. Ask questions. Tell them what your exact thing that you're trying to manage is, and they can kind of give you a treatment plan, I guess, for lack of a better term, as to what to try. A lot of the times they have sample packs of certain things like salves, or they'll give you a little sample along with what you're buying to try out for a few days to see if that's something that you want to invest in. So just like you would go into a doctor's office or whatever, go into your CBD shops. A lot of these owners talk so much to their distributors. They test the product before they even decide to sell it. So like really ask questions.
And even if they told they test the product, me firsthand don't trust anybody anyone says. There's the internet. You can go to leafy.com, mm-hmm. leafly.com, and they have a full directory on their brand. Even if they don't have the directory there about that brand and you know everything that's been tested when it comes to consuming hemp or cannabis, same thing, but CBD versus THC. Yeah. Just always make your research on the company, because there's a lot of things out there that are not the real deal.
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
And, you know, like here in California, you literally get a what do you call it, a code number, but it's the lab number. So you can actually find the lab, what they work with, and see how those labs came out.
Yeah.
So the products I use on my page, on my Instagram, either it's on Christy Von Rose or Vixen Von Rose, everything I double check.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Even if I know the brand, I still go back and see if how those labs results came to be.
They have labs, and like, I love brands that have third-party testing as well, so that you're not just depending on the word of the brand. What I was talking about, like certain shops, like we have an LGBT plus owned shop here, and their owners are fantastic. They fly out to Colorado, they fly out to California, meet with new brands. They do so much research before they decide to sell anything in their shop. And they're like brand owners that I truly love and trust. So like when I walk into their shop, I know that most of the things there are brands that I'll be able to trust. So like it depends, because there are so many like boutique dispensaries that just like put pretty stuff in there, and like those ones aren't going to be as caring as some of like the mom and pop shops that really like these ladies that I'm talking about specifically, their dad passed away from cancer, and instead of doing chemo, they used cannabis throughout his journey, and he had so much more of a peaceful passing than he would have had if he would have gone through another round of chemo. And that's why they're so passionate about CBD. And as soon as it's able to be in Texas, THC. So there are so many people that have like this real relationship with cannabis and THC because they know how beneficial it can be to you.
Yep. Correct. And I feel so sorry for their loss. Yeah. And the thing is, cannabis can be used for wide spectrums. I use it for a wide spectrum. Me personally, I don't, even on plus size, I suffer from having an appetite. So I use it to have an appetite. I use it to go to sleep. I use it for pain. I need it for if I like have creation writer's block. It helps to get the wheels moving. Most people be like, no, you just use it because you want. I'm like, I go to LA and I barely even have time to even smoke. It's not that if I'm at home and I can do it here, I'm fine. But if I, you don't, it's not something that you like, oh my God, I can't live without. If I go to LA, even though it's legal there, I'm so busy, I just can't even take a puff. I'm driving, I'm doing this. It's just listening to your body and listening to your schedule at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. This has been such a fun conversation. We'll have to have you come back and talk about some more things. But for the time being, will you let everyone know what's next for you, where people can find you and join your awesome community?
Actually, what is next for me for this week? I'm actually going to start doing runway shows in my studio. Just a little something. I was like, I got this temporary flooring for the studio and I have these lights, and I was thinking it's not a really long runway, but it's something. So that's what's going on. Kind of showing more plus size looks. I kind of stepped away from plus size looks to the whole, you know, pandemic and being mostly at home. But yeah, just more, I think right now my journey is mental health due to a lot of the traumas I've been through as well. And how am I finding this inner peace while my mind is at war? That's another thing too. Mm-hmm. How to find inner peace when your mind is at war.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So where can people find you? Your handles, your websites, let everybody know where they can click and say hello to you.
Right now, I'm on Christy Von Rose on an Instagram. You can follow me at Christy Von Rose. When it comes down to cosplaying and anime, that'll be Vixen Von Rose. That's most of my pages for right now is on Instagram. TikTok, I'm still working on getting my page back. Yeah.
What's with TikTok disabling people and suspending people?
Well, for this one, I literally had to take down the account due to social media bullying.
Wow.
So I basically, I was looking at the Olympics. This is way before the Olympics was even the Olympics today. And I just basically said, you know, it's sad that they, you know, do certain things to us in the streets. And then we represent the country. And it was a small statement, but it's basically the truth. And I just got a whole port of like, if this, if that, you this, you that. And I was like, okay. It's just like the algorithm in TikTok is very sensitive. Mm. So the moment you put one thing out there, it just goes left. And I'm like, okay. So now that I thought I deleted the page, but I had like 10,000 followers, I'm starting to see if it's a good idea for me to actually retake this page.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's something we'll have to talk about later, like social media bullying, and like especially when it comes to being vocal about like Black Lives Matter, how social media can like kind of try to silence you around that. It's yeah. Well, thank you for joining us. You guys know where to follow Christy, and thank you, like seriously, for taking the time. It was wonderful to see you.
No, it's wonderful to see you too. And I can't wait to have more conversations with you.
Absolutely. All right. Bye, y'all.
The conversation never has to end here. Head over to Instagram and follow at Christy Von Rose and at Eden Loves Life. Tell us what you liked about today's episode and what you'd like to hear in the future. Talk soon. Mm-hmm.